Brought to you by Big Comedy Network.
Pillow fight.
Is yours made of goose?
We got feathers flying everywhere.
Mine's made of goose.
Pillow fight.
This is so fun.
Pillow fighting.
Why is this so fun?
Pillow fight.
Today on Pillow Fight, I'm joined by Ellie Kremendahl, a queer comedian, writer, and actor based out of New York City. She's won Funny or Die's Best of the Web competition and is currently in residence at Ars Nova Theater in New York City. You can find her at Ellie Kremendahl on Twitter and Instagram. On this episode of Pillow Fight, we talk all things Grammys, copaganda, and the next frontier of tech bros.
Fuck. Marry. Kill. Fuck, marry, kill.
I had a tiny little fuck, marry, kill before the main one. Moderna, Pfizer, and Johnson & Johnson.
Ooh, okay. Well, I think my impulse, I love like a scrappy underdog, so I guess I would fuck Johnson & Johnson just because I feel like everyone's like thinking that they don't measure up, and I'm just like, they're going to work really hard to overcompensate for that, you know? Mm-hmm. I got the Pfizer, so I guess I'm married to the Pfizer. I guess I'm going to go the Moderna, but I have heard it has really bad side effects after, but I love Dolly.
I would also fuck Johnson & Johnson just because it's a one and done. It's like a hit it and quit it, you know, like you don't need to like invest in the future in that vaccine. It's just kind of like once it's like one appointment and you're out, goodbye, done. And it's like, you know, it's a tiny bit riskier, but it's like still... Yeah, it's fine. It's good. It's good to do it. So that's why I would fuck Johnson & Johnson. I would marry Moderna just because I don't know. I don't know why. I just get like, it just feels way more glamorous to me. And I think the name Pfizer, also, I just have such an association of Pfizer with like pharma, which like, I guess Moderna's also, they're all big pharma, but just like the Pfizer name to me, it just screams big pharma. So I'm like turned off by it. That's the tiny one. But okay, so for the real fuck, marry, kill, they're Grammys themed because as we're recording this, the Grammys were last night. So number one, Beyonce's daughter, Blue Ivy, won a Grammy. She's 9, but she's actually not the youngest Grammy winner ever. There is an 8-year-old who once won in 2001. So she's the second youngest Grammy winner ever. Number two, this week, Cardi B revealed that she was Selena Gomez stan and said Selena shouldn't quit music yet and she needs to have an edgy era before she's allowed to do it. And that Cardi has some advice for Selena and they can talk about it. And number three, I don't know if you saw pictures of this, but Harry Styles did show up to the Grammys dressed like Sharpay from High School Musical. That was really what it was to me. And I love Sharpay, so... That's, I just felt like it was evoking that for me. But Blue Ivy won a Grammy. Cardi B is a Selena Gomez fan. And Harry is rocking an Ashley Tisdale fit. Fuck, marry, kill, what would you do?
I cannot handle that Blue Ivy is on this list. I love her so much. And also she's like 2 years old. I will answer it. But I have to say, like, I used to be so much better about like, being able to joke about stuff like that with children before I became a mom. Like now I'm just like, no. Okay. How about, can I marry Blue Ivy when she is of age?
Yeah. You're marrying her winning a Grammy. So
I'm marrying her winning a Grammy. Then definitely. Okay. I'm married to Blue Ivy winning a Grammy. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Okay. That's a clarification. So it's more like the moments, the people.
Yeah.
Okay. I love the whole Cardi B, Selena thing. So that'll be a fuck for me. And then, yeah, I don't give a fuck about Harry Styles. Kill.
I would do the same three things as you. I do like Harry Styles, but I think that we really let it get to his head as a society that like people were like, oh, like androgynous king. So now he just wears, he's not fashionable anymore. It used to be that he would like actually really style himself with these like interesting clothes. Now he's like walks into the women's section of a store, finds the first thing he sees, grabs it, like walks into the men's section, takes another thing, just throws it on his body. And it's like not fashionable. And I think that we've let him get away with too much now. And we need to rein it back in. So I think that that's, you know, the like fuzzy scarf thing that he wore, I was like, let's leave that in 2008. I don't think we need that anymore.
100%. It's time for more standards.
I liked the thing that he wore when he was forming. It was like a leather like a leather coat, but not what he wore on the red carpet. I would also fuck the Cardi B standing Selena Gomez thing because I love to see women supporting each other. It's fun. And I also just love the idea that Cardi B is a Selena Gomez fan just because Selena Gomez to me is like a Disney girl and Cardi B is like WAP. You know, like they're just so different in my mind. And also just like the idea that she's going to like mentor Selena Gomez through her edgy era. I feel like that's just so fun and I'm excited. I want them to collab on something. Like I'm excited. I think Selena Gomez is much better actress than musician, but maybe Cardi B can bring out a side of her that we haven't seen before. And
I feel like Cardi B could bring out a side of anyone that we haven't seen before. Mm-hmm. She's so powerful.
I'm excited to see how that turns out.
Yeah.
And then I would also marry Blue Ivy winning a Grammy because, you know, that's like success. It's stability. It's like she's 9 and she's already doing this. You know, it's like my life is set. And you know, her being the second youngest mm-hmm. Grammy winner, not the youngest, that means like she doesn't have too big of an ego, you know, about it. She's like, she's got a good head on her shoulders, I think, you know.
Then I cannot imagine the pressure of your parents being Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Yeah, and Beyonce just won has the record for the most Grammys held by a female artist. So it's crazy.
That is crazy.
I was thinking about how like Kim and Kanye are like kind of a Beyonce and Jay-Z. They were like in the same sort of like class of power couple, and now they're like crashing down. Like I was reading an article about how he won't speak to her. He's like run away to the woods and won't speak to her. I feel bad for those kids.
Me too. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's a tall order. That's like, yeah, sometimes when you look at situations like that and you're like, okay, like never having to worry about money, but then also having to have this be like your world and legacy and having to navigate all of the bullshit that goes along with it. It's like, mm-hmm. no.
There's a certain threshold where like a certain amount of money is like helps you. And then at a certain point, once you get to a certain point of like exposure, falls down the bell curve again. Like, I don't know. And I also feel bad. I always talk about this. Every episode that comes out, I talk about how I have a soft spot for Kim Kardashian. Like I think that if she wasn't famous and wasn't that wealthy, like she probably would be like a chill person. Like I don't know, I like that she's doing this work to like, you know, help equip people and stuff like that, but I just feel like she's trying so hard also, and I feel like she is like a good mom, and I just feel like she's probably trying so hard and just nothing's working, and I feel if I was her I would have had like a huge public meltdown by now. But you know,
yeah, she has kept it kind of classy.
Yeah, I feel like she supports him
well, and he's like mentally ill, and you know, no one, it's like I don't know that he's like a bad person, like it's not about that, you know. I like a compassionate lens on Kim Kardashian. I think that's nice. Can I tell you some gossip?
Yes, always.
That you just reminded me of, which I'm not going to name names.
Okay.
But I'm still so aghast and shocked about it. A girl who was in my, I forget which, but UCB 101 or 201 improv class.
Mm-hmm.
I found out later from becoming Insta friends that she's like, she must be an heiress of sorts or something. But she's been posting stories of taking private planes to like fucking who knows where all through the pandemic. And I found out through when I'm addicted to like looking at her stories, I just cannot stop. Sometimes I go on Instagram just to look at her stories. And she calls the, did you know that people call private jets PJs?
I actually did know this, but from watching some TV show with like rich people, but I've heard it like once or twice.
Yeah, I did not. That blew my mind. Like it was like mid pandemic. And there was a post of her on a private jet, and the caption was like, living my best life on the PJ. I was like, okay, I am fascinated by you, and also I despise you.
Where was she going?
I don't know. Like, a lot of the pictures look tropical.
I'm like, the thing is, if you're going to be traveling during the pandemic, every place you go should be very different. You should cover a variety of bases. Mm. You shouldn't be going to like Cancun and also Miami and also, you know, the Maldives and also mm-hmm. like you should go skiing and then you should go swimming and then you should go to the desert. It's unnecessary to, if you're going to put that much into travel.
I feel like folks who might be inclined to take PJs during the pandemic, like, don't care about having a full, holistically enriching experience. Like, they probably just want
mm-hmm.
margs on the beach to be delivered
totally.
To them.
Totally. I'm imagining some situation where someone's like, oh, like, join me in the PJ. And I would be like, that's a little fast. Like, we're gonna hop in your clothes together. I'm like, yeah, it's like you take a leg and I take a leg. Oh, okay,
that is 100% what I would read that as a text until I started following this person on Instagram.
No, I have there's a lot of people I went to college with who are like that, and they're all over the place. And I don't know, there's certain celebrities where I think there's a running joke about them being everywhere, but it's like at this point. What are you going to do about it? Like Dua Lipa, all over the world. She's been all over the world. And then she performed at the Grammys. And I'm like, did you get a COVID test? Are you infecting everyone there?
Well, probably vaccinated. I mean, don't you think all of the celebrities are vaccinated?
I think so, probably.
Like, I watched the Emmys and, like, everyone was, like, with their quarantine pod being very safe. But it was, like, 30 people. Like, not everyone. But a lot of people, and I feel like they all just got like celebrity access vaccines.
Really. Probably.
That's what America, that's how we are.
Just like how Pence got it in the first week.
Fucking Pence. Oh my God. I feel that rage.
I wonder what he's doing right now. His little beady eyes.
No, he's just so, he drips pompousness, like pomposity. Every time
I just, to me, it feels like a robot that wasn't fully programmed. Like, no, somebody didn't finish programming him, so he has no soul. I heard that he's starting a podcast too.
Really?
He's becoming one of the podcasters. Yeah.
Maybe he's empty inside and he needs to do something.
I have this like fanfic fantasy that, you know, what happened with Trump at the end of their term is like about to radicalize him, and he's going to, become a born again Democrat, and it's never gonna happen, but I like to fantasize about these situations.
I would love that. That gives me pleasure to think about things like that too.
Do you remember that Trump press release from last week that was like, you know, like when you're all getting the vaccine, I want you to think about me and how I made this happen, whatever. When I saw it on Twitter, I was like, this is good. Like, so, ha, 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 someone photoshopped this. It's so funny. Ha, ha, ha. And then I kept seeing like verified journalists posting it. And I was like, wait, is this real? And I Googled it and it was. And I was like, that's so on letterhead. He said that, like, he just doesn't have Twitter anymore. So he can't tweet it, but fully on letterhead.
It's like a caricature of an extreme narcissist. Like I want you to think of me inside of you, you know, like, and he doesn't even see that is like an insane thing to say, you know. It's like the least insane of all the things, but that is all. I had a horrible involuntary mental image when I read that too, of just like Trump wanting to like put his like gross dick like inside of everyone via vaccine syringe. I know, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I just put that in. You can just edit that out.
Do you think that if someone with sperm is vaccinated and they come inside a person who's will they build a little immunity?
I've thought about this. I swear to God, I really have. I feel like probably, like, not knowing anything about science. It seems like bodily fluids transmit all kinds of shit.
I think like someone was saying that like they knew someone who was pregnant, got the vaccine, or had just been pregnant, was still pumping and made breast milk for like her nanny, and her nanny like had it to like boost immunity, supposedly. So I don't know.
I read that too. Yeah. I believe it. I feel like if you're gonna date people with sperm in the pandemic and you're gonna fuck them, like, why not go for vaccinated?
Is that, I feel like that's a new sort of like exclusionary situation. Like, you know how people are like, oh, I only want to date people like above X height or like certain kinds of jobs. Now it's like, I only want to date people who have access to vaccine. And I think it's like creating a new kind of landscape in this dating climate right now, which, I mean, neither of us are experiencing, but it's interesting to watch. I'm like seeing people who are like, I want to find someone who's vaccinated. And I'm like, if I was in the dating pool right now, it would be hard.
It would be. Yeah. Although I don't know, like if I were dating, I don't know if I would have been really dating in person during school. Like I think I might be too neurotic to have risked the exposure.
I also think like kind of thing, like 6 foot away picnic is like my, with somebody I don't know, is the most uncomfortable thing in the world to me. Like it just sounds so deeply uncomfortable. Like having to just like stare at them and talk to them for that long is really uncomfortable.
Yeah. I think if you have any kind of anxiety disorder, that is like an absolute nightmare.
And yeah.
I mean, I found dating to just be so stressful and nightmarish anyway. So if you add like masks and distance, it's just like, why? Like you can just mess.
It's weird because I feel like I know a lot of people who have like found partners on dating apps in the pandemic. And it's really wild. I guess like in some ways it like forces you to get serious fast because you're like, if we're going to actually touch each other, then we probably shouldn't be touching other people for everyone's safety. So
yeah,
I've also been thinking like the world is starting to go back to normal soon because we're all getting the vaccine. I'm like, I don't know if I'm ready for it. Like, I don't know if I'll be prepared.
I know. I feel similarly. And I'm curious to hear what do you feel in particular not ready for? Like, what's freaking you out?
Like huge social gatherings in person. I'm like, oh my God, will I be able to have the energy for that? I'm thinking about how I used to go to like parties and stuff at night. And I'm like, why did they start at midnight? I want to go to bed, but I want to be in bed at midnight. I don't know why they started at midnight. How is Goldie doing like in the pandemic, your daughter?
Yeah, so she's like almost three. So she's had like a major like developmental chunk of her life in the pandemic now. And she's fine. Like I think she's fine. Yeah. I think she's not at the worst age for it because she's not like, like I feel the most for kind of elementary and junior high and high school kids. That just sounds fucking terrible. Mm-hmm. But she's with us a lot. Like she loves to be with us. And also she's been in daycare now since December. Like she was home with us without seeing other kids from like the pandemic's beginning till December. And I think that was the hardest for her. But now she's like, you know, she's at daycare vibing, having a time. Yeah.
That's good. I feel like she would be the star of daycare. My brother is in high school and that looks like that seems rough.
Mm-hmm.
Doing high school online, it looks exhausting.
And just being with your parents all the time. Like when I was in high school, I was never, ever home.
Yeah, me too. My brother just sits in his room all day though. Like sometimes I don't see him.
Yeah.
You know, like he just is locked away in his room all day long. So I have no motivation to get out of bed now. Cause I'm like, I can take, even if I have an early morning like call, I can take it from bed. Like nobody will, you know, have a problem with it. But it's like, I need to start getting out and doing things.
I feel a little bit nervous about like, not nervous, just I have some excitement, but also it's coupled with some dread about live comedy because I love it so much. But also I've gotten really accommodated to like doing it with like a blanket on my lap and only having to look nice on the top and then like not having a commute to like go anywhere, get home really late. I'm also like old. Like I feel like, oh my God, like it's going to be like waiting to go up and it's late as fuck and it'll be good. I'll be like, oh man, there is something nice about it all being comfort of your bed.
Yeah, I've gotten so used to also just reading my set from my computer.
Me too.
And it's like, I have to memorize it again. Oh no. Like, oh no.
I was just thinking that yesterday because I did a show yesterday with Jackie Cation's show, which I have to, it was so fun. It was like the sweetest Zoom show. I highly recommend watching. I think she's doing it every Sunday. But I like wrote a bunch of new jokes right before. And then I was like, this is great. Like, I'm just going to write them in my like Google Doc. Yeah. And then I remembered that those days are numbered and like being a book is like a thing. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, I truly read word for word from a Google Doc sometimes. And I think I'm just really good at making it seem like lively. So it works, but I don't know. And also it's like, I've been doing in the pandemic more than 5 minutes on Zoom and stuff like that. But it's like, I don't know about memorizing a 10 minute set. I like, it's scary. That's scary. That's a really scary thought. I don't know about it, but I'm sure it'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
But I remember I was making a front-facing video and it was 1 minute long. And I was stressing so much about memorizing the 1 minute of content. And I was like, oh my gosh, my brain is so fried. It's like gone.
Are you not used to it anymore? Or did you never, like, did you not do a lot of theater where you had to memorize stuff? Because I know you did improv.
I did a lot of theater and I was good at memorizing things, but now I'm just not used to it. Like, it's been a while.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I feel similarly. Right before the pandemic, I did this character show where it was like a solo character piece and it was like 13 minutes long. And I thought about the other day and I was like, oh, well, that's just impossible, you know?
Whoa. What character was it?
This is really silly character. Her name was Magpie and she was like a seventh grader who was sort of bullied, but was precocious and just kind of is in this doing this assembly and kind of takes everybody down and freaks out and then reels back in. Just fun to do.
That's cute. I did a little character show right before COVID started too. Yeah, it's definitely weird. I think I've just gotten really used to the internet also. And I don't think like when the world becomes normal, I don't know if I'll have as much time to like invest in putting into the internet. I guess I'm just like, while it's happening, but I don't know. Do you like working from home or is it?
I feel really mixed about it because in a way I like it. I kind of liked my little routine. And I also didn't work in a normal office. Like I just kind of rented a little space and had it all days a weekend. So it was not like, I can't imagine, like I haven't had a 9-to-5 where I have to like show up to an office 5 days a week in years. So I kind of miss it. I miss getting like my little snacks at like Midtown bakeries and then going eating them in my quiet office. But yeah.
The act of going somewhere to do something is very, like, it puts you in the right mindset. Like, now I'm just, like, I'm working. At any moment, I could just jump in my bed and no one would stop me. And that's really dangerous.
Oh, my God. I can't even imagine. If I didn't have a kid, I would be spending, like, 80% more of my time in bed. I feel entirely confident about that. She's, like, a cock block for my bed.
Your kid is a cock block for your bed. That's so funny. That's really funny.
Would you rather, would you rather, would you rather? Let's play a game of would you rather.
Okay, so as I mentioned earlier, as of this past week's Grammys, Beyoncé holds the record for the most Grammys earned by a female artist. I want to know if you would rather have the world record for whatever award of your choosing that you would like to have, so Emmys, Tonys, Grammys, Oscars, whatever, or never have to work again, but like you're financially taken care of for the rest of your life.
I guess never have to work again, but be financially free, because I don't think the awards matter to me all that much.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like this is maybe a boring answer, but like what sounds so appealing to me about that is to continue like making art and comedy stuff, but not having to worry about the tie to money. Sounds so liberating. You know, and that's like all I would do. I would just make whatever you want and not worry about it.
I think I would do the same thing for that exact same reason. Like I would also, I think winning awards means that you have to be like tethered to some sort of like industry standard to do well.
Yeah.
Like continue doing well. But if I just never had to work again. First of all, I just hate working. I think that's, I don't know. In this capitalist society, I feel like someone's going to call me lazy. I don't think I was meant to work like that.
I don't think any of us were. You're not.
Like I like having my little projects and sometimes they give me money, but I would just love to be able to do all my little projects and just like have not feel stressed about having to monetize them.
100%. Yeah, I feel exactly the same.
I think it's cool that Beyoncé holds the record.
Me too. Good for her.
I was remembering that when I was in like kindergarten or something. I don't know if it was in kindergarten. I think I was in sixth grade. For some reason, it's like in my mind is in kindergarten, but I was totally way too young in kindergarten to have this like conceptualization of the world. I think I was in sixth grade and they made us in our yearbook write like what we want to accomplish by 30. And in that, I wrote that I was going to win 3 Grammys. I was like EGOT. I was like, EGOT by 30.
Oh my god, I love that.
You know, I still have 8 years to make it happen.
You can do it. I believe in you.
But, you know, I was really aiming high at the time. I want to, like, find the picture somewhere. I know the yearbook is in our house somewhere, but it's so funny. I'm like, I was so, and I was like, yeah, like, this is an achievable dream. Totally.
I think that says so much delightful stuff about who you were as a child. That's incredible.
I remember when we had our DARE assembly, I think that was also in sixth grade, we had to like talk about what we wanted to do and why like drugs would keep us from getting there. And I was like, I want to be an actress and a lawyer. I want to do both. I want to be in movies. And then I also want to be in the courtroom. And the cop who was like in charge of it was like, that's the same job.
Okay.
I remember that we had this like lesbian cop as our DARE officer. And I think it was like, I just remember in sixth grade, like being subconsciously fed this propaganda that like it was a diverse team of cops. I was like, oh, like she's cool. She's like a cool alt cop, you know, and now I'm like, they were definitely just sending them out into the high schools to like give us little beckles of that. But
and it was just like one lesbian and.
Mm-hmm.
Were they like all white but one lesbian?
Yeah. Like she was like a very stereotypical like white lesbian cop, you know, like you can imagine. Did you ever watch the TV show The Fosters? I don't know why you would have, but maybe.
No, but it's not such a random question. So many people have seemed to think I should watch that.
In a lot of ways, it was a really groundbreaking show. It was like a YA show basically, but it was about this like interracial lesbian couple who would adopt and foster like various kids, and like they have their own ties to it, whatever. And then, you know, like some of the kids are, they have their own issues, and so talks about foster care a lot and talks about mental health. And I think it was one of the first shows where I saw like a trans character portrayed by a trans actor. But one of the moms is like classic white lesbian cop. And it just drives me nuts. Like it's just, it's almost so like just so progressive, and then that is like really and her copness like saves a lot of situations. Like she's able to intervene in a bunch of things because she's cop.
Propaganda.
Mm-hmm. Propaganda for sure.
Propaganda.
And her ex-husband was also a cop. I think he's like, we're less sympathetic to him, but he's also like one of the good cops. And they have a son. They have a son who's a pianist.
I don't think we need any more shows about good cops or even featuring good cops.
There's so many shows about cops. And I'm just like, this doesn't seem fun to me. I want a show. If we're going to do a workplace sort of show, I want a show about the people who are like cleaning up celebrity scandals. Like I want like Azalea Banks's PR person. I want like that.
You need to write that show.
Because I just feel like it's like Scandal, but like entertainment.
That's what I'm just thinking, which is if anything could make Scandal better, that would be it.
I think that it's going to happen. Okay, listeners, don't steal my idea.
If you collaborate, I am with you.
Yes. You can sign on as a consultant. I need to find someone in PR to do some research.
Totally.
People have been talking about NFTs for the past few weeks, and I have like no idea what they are. They're non-fungible tokens, which like I don't know what that means, but like I googled it, and basically they are a Bitcoin situation that is like people can buy the original copy of digital art and have like the rights to the original. But like what I'm gathering from that is that what it means is that like someone could take a screenshot of my tweet and then like claim the rights to that like the picture of my tweet.
What?
So I don't really understand it. Like I can't really wrap my head around it. It's too like, it's like Bitcoin. I don't get it. It's like not, I can't touch it. If I can't touch it, it doesn't exist to me. Or if I can't see like my bank account statement, it doesn't exist to me. I had to have this situation explained to me multiple times and I still don't get it. But this is like reminding me, this is the kind of thing that like a tech bro would mansplain to me. And I just like, you know, I wonder if you would rather have to spend an hour every week listening to some tech bro mansplain something like this to you, or have teenagers make fun of your outfit every time you go outside every day.
That is a ghastly question. God. Okay. Here, can I ask a follow-up question?
Yes.
How long did the teenagers make fun of me?
Like 5 minutes, but it's every day.
Okay. And is it one time? Every day, but one time, 5 minutes.
I'd say it's like 1 to 3 times a day.
What? This is an impossible question. I hate it so much. Tech bro is 1 hour a week.
Uh-huh.
But it's like a full uninterrupted hour.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I guess I have to pick the teenagers, but I'm not happy about
I think I would pick the tech bro thing because it is just 1 hour a week. And so I just dedicate it and then it's done with, like, it's over with.
Yeah, that's probably the smarter choice. I just, I can't stand the thought of the tech bro in my ear.
I think the thing about the tech bros is also that they don't care if you care. Like, they just want to hear themselves talk and they want to think that you're listening. If I just pretend I'm listening and in my head, yeah, I'm just thinking about like what I need to buy from Trader Joe's later today, like, I know I can pull it off. I've done it before. You know, it's fine. Teenagers doing this every day, multiple times a day, I think would really erode at my self-esteem. I know this because of the time I spent on TikTok and how horrible it felt to have like 16-year-olds tell me like I was ugly because I didn't have a middle part. It's like, I don't even like this. There's this whole millennial Gen Z war. I don't feel like I belong in on either side. You know, I still have a side part, but I don't wear skinny jeans.
Maybe you're just, you know, you don't care, which is says really good about you.
But they just, I feel like I get it. I get the teenagers making fun of me all the time on TikTok. And that's kind of why I ran away from it. I just couldn't do it anymore. It was like really making me question like my self-worth.
Oh my God, that's horrible. I feel like, yeah, it would probably be devastating and I would regret my choice. But I think that the only positive I can imagine is like if it would keep me on my toes to make sure I don't devolve into sort of like horrible, like middle-aged mom fashion, like maybe I would mm-hmm. continually evaluate my choices and make better ones.
I think that if Harry Styles had teenagers making fun of his outfit every day, he wouldn't have shown up dressed like Sharpay to the Grammys.
I agree.
Ellie, truth or dare?
A truth.
What was the most recent thing where like Goldie asked you about something and you gave her a lie as the answer to?
Okay, well, this is one that haunts me constantly,
uh-huh.
Which is that often when I drop her off at school, she's like, you come back, right? Because grown-ups always come back. And I'm like, yes, grown-ups always come back. And then every time I drive away, I'm like, unless they die! And then I feel so bad that I think about if I died and like how traumatizing that would be. Not just because I was dead, but because I told her grown-ups to come back.
Even if you didn't die, I don't think grown-ups don't always come back.
That's true. I could just like abandon my family.
Hopefully that's not something she has to deal with for a long time.
My God, I hope not. That's one of the worst parts of having kids is thinking about like if you die. Like I used to worry about if people I loved died and I would obsess about it. Like I have OCD and I would just that's an obsession I focus on. Now I focus about me dying, not because of me really, because it's like I've always like if I die, it's kind of sad, but not for me. You know, it's more just like the thought of her having to deal with that is just the worst.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, I hope for both of your sake that you don't die anytime.
I hope not. Okay, truth or dare?
Dare.
Yay. Okay. I dare you to prank call a random number.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay. Do you have anyone saved in your phone under like blah 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 Tinder that you like never talk to again?
I feel like I didn't save those people's numbers. I'm like bad about that.
Okay, how about this then? Any number saved in your phone that you don't recognize?
Okay, I have one that's I think it's someone's like a sublet person that I was trying to contact.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Call them and tell them that they have won a free, they've won 5 free kittens, and you need to like book with them like how they're going to deliver the kittens, and also it's going to be filmed for this reality show called like Free Kittens. Like you know, you can improv it, but that's the premise.
If they don't answer, should I just leave a voicemail?
Yeah.
The person you are trying to reach is not accepting calls at this time.
Oh, no.
Okay. Let's try this person.
The number you dialed is not a working number.
What is going on? The universe doesn't want you to do this.
Huh. Huh.
Okay. Okay, let's shift a little bit. What if you call someone who is like, you know who they are in your phone, but they're like really, really random. And you also have to kind of disguise your voice then.
You know who I'm like inclined to call?
Who?
This guy who is, I was hooking up with his best friend from high school in college, and he came to visit one weekend, and then I met him for that one weekend, and I have his phone number. But okay, wait.
Okay, great. Perfect.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. Is not available. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hi, I just wanted to follow up for your application to the Free Kittens show that we were talking about, and I DM'd you earlier on Instagram about it. We loved your application, and I just want to say we have selected you to move forward to the next round. You will be receiving 5 kittens, and I just want to make sure like we can kind of figure out the logistics of that. I know like it's an interesting time with the pandemic and things are kind of shifting right now, so I would love to chat with you about how we can make that happen. I'm really excited to move forward with this for you. It's going to be filmed. So, you know, make sure that it's something that like everyone involved would be able to be on camera for. You know, we're really excited about this, and thank you so much for submitting. I feel really positively about this. So yeah, look forward to chatting with you.
Yay. That was so great. I wish that I had heightened it with like 50 kittens. But that was amazing. Yeah.
All right. Truth or dare?
Okay, dare.
Okay. I want you to record a front-facing video where you earnestly discuss the potential pros of Elon Musk and tweet it.
Right now? Oh my god. Oh my god, do you want to ruin my career?
You can put in the caption, I am being forced to say this against my will.
Oh my god, I hate you. Oh gosh. Okay. Also, this will probably make it funnier, but I know nothing about Elon Musk. I don't know that he's so rich. Okay,
I think that will be funny because you can just like hypothesize about him.
So what am I supposed to do? The potential benefits of him existing, would you say?
Yeah. Yeah. Just like, you know, everyone's hard on Elon Musk, but like here's some things that I think that we don't always talk about.
Okay, here we go. Let me open my video. Hey guys. So everyone is so hard on Elon Musk, but I think that he's really getting the short end of the stick in terms of the value that he adds to contemporary society, including that he would taste so good with jam, all kinds of jam. He also donates to worthy causes all the time, like, no, like, my pussy. Also, he is, I think he's a little magical, and I don't think we talk about that enough, and that's all I really have to say, but I just need to get my message out, and I couldn't hold it back. I had to be real, and love you. Bye. That was crazy. I'm so mad at you for making me do it. Okay, so now I have to tweet that right now, but I can caption that you forced me to, or that someone forced me to.
Mm-hmm. You can say I was forced to post this video against my will or something like that.
I was forced to post this at gunpoint. Here we go. I'm gonna follow up with data for you on how many followers I lose because of this.
I think it's like funny though. I think it's really funny. I do think he's a little magical. I think that he might be like a woodland creature.
Oh my god, like a little fawn.
Like, it makes sense why he and Grimes would end up together if he was a little, like, woodland creature.
Yeah, I love the whole concept of woodland creatures, I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
Forced to make and distribute this video at gunpoint. Send. It's so funny because I haven't made a front-facing video in, like, so long. Now this is I was really on a roll for a while and then I got so tired. Okay, it's going. That was a fun one though. Oh my god, I once truth or dared one of my best friends when we were super, super drunk to prank call her dad, who was like obsessed with their dog, and tell, similarly to what I dared you to do, I'm just remembering, and tell him that he had been chosen to be featured in a magazine called Dogs and Folks, and about people who love their dogs. And he got really emotional, and he was like, can I read you a poem I wrote about the dog? And we were so wasted, and it ended up, we were like crying, and it was awful. Oh god.
Oh no.
Okay, truth or dare?
Truth.
Okay. What sexual fantasy do you feel most embarrassed about?
I'm trying to think. I have this really weird one. Oh my god, I'm saying this publicly. I've never told it to anybody that's not like very, very close to me. Oh my gosh. I guess I have to say it. I don't know like what the fantasy around it is, but something to me, I always get really aroused watching videos of people getting extreme haircuts. I think there is something to it about like the hairdresser having like complete, like it's a power dynamic thing sort of. I don't really want that done to me.
You just watching it done to other
people. Because I'm like, I like my hair, don't mess with it. But I think the concept, yeah, maybe I wear a wig and do it.
Yeah, or it's also okay to just like be into watching that. I get that.
Yeah. But it's really odd. I don't know how I discovered it. I like just kind of, I don't know, one day just happened upon it.
You were just watching like a reality show and then you were like,
yeah, I was kind of embarrassed about it because people are just like, what?
How do you feel now that you've shared that so publicly?
It feels like when I'm in therapy and I have a revelation that it's like really uncomfortable to confront and I just am smiling through. I'm like, yeah, yay. Yeah, that's how it feels. But
yeah,
out there now. All right. I'm scared for like the reply guys who are going to try to send me those videos now.
Oh, no.
You know, but it's okay. They probably won't make it to the end of the episode because they probably just, I don't even know if those people care about me like that, but you know.
No, you're just a face and a body.
Okay, truth or dare?
Okay, so I'll do truth too.
Okay. What was your first job like and what was it? And like, tell me about the first job you ever had.
I think it was being a lifeguard at the community pool, which was in the suburbs of Chicago as a teenager. And it was kind of great because there was this behind the scenes sort of like, there was like a whole social world to the lifeguards. And actually, like whenever I think of that job, I think about how I had this like romance with, there was just for so long, all of this sexual tension between me and this, the manager of the pool, who was like 20. And I think I was like, at this point, I was probably like 17. And it's significant to me because he was one of the only this guys I have ever felt like legitimately like so hot for. Like, he was just so hot. And I was so into him, and it just made that job amazing because every day I got to go in and like be around Charlie.
Having a work crush makes it more bearable for sure.
It was so much, it was great. And then I ended up pretending that he went to school at Indiana University, and I ended up pretending I was going to visit Indiana University, lied to my parents, said I was staying with someone from like our temple, like this girl, Deborah. I arranged it with Deborah, and then I met Deborah at her dorm, and then I was like, actually, I'm staying with this guy, Charlie. And then I left. And I went to Charlie. I got so blackout drunk. We were supposed to go to a party. I just passed out, woke up on the floor naked, covered in vomit, and ended up getting grounded because my parents found out. They called Deborah. I wasn't there. She lied. She was a bad liar. And then, oh man. And then my parents called me at Charlie's dorm, and they were like, my dad called me a slut. I don't regret it at all because, like I said, so hot. Best dry humping
Did you ever have to save someone in the pool?
I did jump in once for like a toddler, and it wasn't a true save because he wasn't drowning, but he was struggling. Mm-hmm. Had to like blow the whistle and jump in. But yeah, that lifeguarding job was really just, I mean, I had to clean out a lot of like shit and like puke. That was the worst part because kids would shit and puke in the pool.
Yeah.
But otherwise it was really fun and was like a fun social scene.
Yeah, that does sound like it sounds like High School Musical too.
Haven't seen it, but I believe you.
That's a cool first job.
Yeah, and I would get really tan and like, I was outside all day. It was fun. It was good. Mm-hmm. Okay, truth or dare?
I'll do another dare.
Okay. Let's see. Is anyone at your house right now? Okay.
Yeah, my family is home. Yeah.
What if you go out and tell your family that, but and you have to secretly like record it, okay, and then post it on Twitter. But you have to. It's multi-layered. So you go out and tell your family that you've decided that you're actually going to go to law school. And it's a really big sort of revelatory decision that you've made. You can tell them about it later, but you just had to share. Like, and then you have to record yourself saying that and their reaction. And then you can sit back. Like, you don't have to do this if it feels too, like, if it feels too complete with family shit, I can do it different.
I don't feel like their reaction would be funny. I feel like they would just be like, okay, you got to work a lot harder for that.
Well, that's funny.
Or like they just wouldn't listen. I don't know like what people are doing. My mom is I think my mom is like working out. My dad is working. My brother is also working. So I don't want to bother them, but I would like text it to them or something.
You could text it. Well, then you have to let the joke sit until they respond.
Yeah. Family chat. What should I say?
You want me to just dictate to you?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, guys. I'm writing to share that I've had a really important revelation. I'm meant to be a criminal prosecutor. Here's a good one. Okay. I've secretly applied to Yale Law and was just accepted. And I can't wait for you to help me start my new life in New Haven in the fall. Oh my goodness, so excited.
Okay, ready, set.
Oh my god, I love it so much. Do people gonna know? Do they know about your show and that you do Truth or Dares?
Yeah, because once I've had to bring my mom on. Like Rishi asked to meet my mom live on air. That was his, the dare. Oh, so yeah. She knows. I also had to once call my brother and ask him if he had a current crush. But I don't know if my dad will know. And my dad he said, huh?
Okay, now you have to say, aren't you happy for me?
He said no.
No. Parents don't want them to go to Yale Law School.
No, my dad once told me that when I was little, I told him I wanted to be a lawyer, and he was like, I was really upset. Like, I knew your life was going to, I knew you wouldn't enjoy it. I felt bad. You would, like, be unhappy for the rest of your life.
Oh, my God. I mean, that's actually kind of amazing.
But he wanted me to work in finance, so I don't know how that's any better. That sounds- What should I say now?
Okay, no. And then you can say, I'll see you in court.
Do they not have a gavel emoji?
Oh my really god, should. They really should. Somebody tell them.
Oh, there's a little judge. I'll do that. I'll make her brown. A
little brown judge. Just like you'll be in 4 years. Oh my god, so good.
Oh my god, my dad is replied. At one point when you were growing up, you wanted to be a lawyer. When you grew up, I was depressed.
Yeah, he just confirmed the story you just told me. Wow. So you know your dad. So is he taking this seriously right now?
I think that he knows it's a joke.
Okay. Okay.
I think that he's like, why are you texting me this lie?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that my brother will just look at it and be like, I don't want to get involved in this. And my mom, yeah. I don't know if she'll respond.
Really? She might just not respond at all.
She might just completely ignore it. All right. Thank you so much for joining me. I had a blast.
Oh, me too, Yamini. It was so fun.
Do you have anything that you want to share with the listeners before we go?
No.
That's so fair.
I don't think so. Thanks for listening. This was really fun.
Yeah. Don't trust Elon Musk. Stay safe. If anyone finds out what an NFT is, please let us know.
Okay. No one tell my daughter that grown-ups die.
Oh, yeah. No. Does she know that what happens when animals die?
Well, I accidentally kind of... She does know about death because we saw a turtle outside like 6 months ago. And then Basil, that's my husband. I know you know that. I'm saying that for like.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. He was like, oh, maybe. Then it was gone. And Basil was like, maybe the turtle died. And I was like, oh, yeah, it probably died. And we didn't really know she was listening. And then she really stuck on it. And she kept being like, why turtle die? And then when it came back up like the next day, she was like, look, that's where the turtle was. Like, probably dead.
Oh no.
But she doesn't really know that like people die, you know, which we all die.
We love you. Thanks for listening.
Don't die. Bye.
Thanks so much for joining our pillow fight. See you next time. Pillow Fight is a production by me, Yamini Nambimadam, with music by Greer Baxter.
Follow Big Comedy on social media @ I Love Big Comedy.